Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We turn our attention to just one verse of John chapter 1. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Tuesday was the shortest day of the year. That is not one of my favorite days of the year. How about you? 6 months from now in June, the longest day of the year? Yeah, that's an awesome day. That's a day I'll celebrate. I'll acknowledge even, almost as if it's a holiday. How about you? I get up on the longest day of the year, for sure before the sun rises. I spend as much time outside that day as I possibly can, and if I have no obligations in the evening, I will definitely be watching that sunset. I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like living significantly north of here, where on that shortest day of the year, you don't even get one full hour of daylight before the sun sets again. That's crazy. I've known people who have lived in those situations that have moved there and tried to acclimate themselves to that kind of reality. It's not an easy thing. A whole lot of them I know have wound up seeing counselors about not being able to adjust to living in darkness most of the time. I love sunshine. I love daylight. And I don't think I could ever live in a place where there's not enough of it. But I'm not afraid of the dark. I've never been afraid of the dark. Even as a child, didn't mind the dark much at all. It was never a challenge for me. I think that's especially when I want to get some sleep. I prefer that it's dark. Not even a nightlight, preferably. But I have absolutely always loved the light. And I can't say for sure why, but I have some suspicions that it might have been all about growing up in a very active Christian household where I heard so often from the scriptures that God is light, that he lives in light, that he offers us light. God created light. God prefers light to darkness. The Bible often talks about belief in God and righteousness as light. And it equally labels unbelief, rebellion, and sin as darkness. And even though I know, I have no doubt that there is a lot of that darkness inside of me, I also know that I love the light. Even when that light is examining me and revealing to me just how awful the darkness inside of me can be. Because I want to get rid of that darkness. Do you? Do you want to rid yourself of darkness? Seems like a rather elementary question, but as we listen to these verses from John chapter 1, we come to realize that by nature, every human being loves darkness to some degree. In fact, we are clearly told in this Christmas Day gospel that many human beings prefer the darkness of sin and unbelief to the light of truth in Jesus Christ. Even those who would consider themselves to be Christians, even those who might be labeled the Messiah's own in these verses, even they don't always recognize him and accept him as the light he truly is. And even this morning, when our world is filled with the Christmas spirit and many are on their best behavior because they think of this as one of the most important days of the year. We don't have to look too hard to find darkness in human attitudes, human behaviors, human words. We see the darkness all around us. I've had so many conversations over the last 2 years about Bible passages that speak about the end times. I haven't initiated a lot of those conversations. It wasn't necessarily on my mind, but it clearly is on the minds and hearts of many Christians and even those who want to know more about what the Bible says about these things. I've responded. I've participated in these conversations. I listen and I contribute. But knowing that we are told that the love of most will grow cold during the last days, knowing that hatred and violence will demonstrate the gathering darkness of unbelief and misbelief in the last days, it is natural for believers to observe moments like we are living right now and ask if indeed these are the last times, the darkest times before the eternal dawn. I won't tell you that they're not, but I also will remind you that the roller coaster ride of peaks and valleys, of darkness and violence and challenging times, and then resurgence of the Word and the Gospel impacting human life and culture, the Holy Christian Church has been on that ride for a very long time and has met moments like this in the past where it was certain that this must be it. Those without knowledge of the Creator God celebrated this time of year, the lengthening of the days and the return of more sunlight. Our ancient Christian predecessors saw the world in which they were living, saw the darkness of the days of this time of the year, where evergreen trees and light bedeck not altars to the true God and His saving plan and His saving Son, but rather to light itself, to human life and human endeavor and human debauchery even, as drunkenness and sexual immorality were always part of the pagan human rituals of this time of the year. And they saw in all of that darkness an opportunity to refocus themselves. In hearing verses such as this from the Gospel of John, they determined this would be the right time of the year. Even though they had no extra knowledge that we're not aware of now as to when Jesus was really born, what month, what day, all of that, they decided that as the days are growing longer, as light is returning to God's earth, what a perfect time to establish an annual celebration of God's light coming into the world in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Replacing empty rituals that merely flung hope at the winter sky, that light and warmth were on their journey back to dominance again, the early Christians pointed to the one true light that offers eternal answers and the hope of living in eternal light with God. Those Christians living in the middle of all that pagan revelry had John's Gospel to read, to inspire them and to guide them in creating a church-based annual festival that celebrated the Word becoming flesh. The Gospel we've read this morning has been read thousands and thousands of Christmas days. God became one of us to free us from sin and death. But God becoming one of us is also, by John's definition in this first verse, how He revealed to us a glimpse of His eternal glory. He did that in calming storms and healing broken bodies. He did that also by casting out demons and raising the dead. He did that by daily proclaiming God's judgment against sin in perfect balance to God's welcoming embrace of His love and forgiveness and peace through the sacrifice of His Son. And He did that not just by becoming the light of our world, but also by revealing glimpses of how He had already always been the light of the world from before creation and through creation and to this very day. That is impossible for us to understand. It is beyond our intellectual abilities. But the Spirit here in the inspiring of John the Apostle leaves us with no doubt about it. Whether that's here in John chapter 1 or any other place in the Bible, the matter comes up. Jesus was conceived in and born of a human woman. Yet Jesus was also so much more. The author of life on that sixth day, breathing life into first Adam and then Eve after forming them in the dust, as the Father and the Spirit were also equally involved in every way in that creating work. How all that is God, who not only formed every last molecule of our universe, but also continues to keep it from imploding into oblivion in this very moment. How that immensity and infinity of being can also be wrapped up in a human form. Not just a child laying on the straw in a manger, but an embryo growing in Mary's womb just seconds after the Spirit caused that conception. I cannot pretend to help you understand any better than I ever have how that can be. But I know it's true. And I know without a whisper of a hint of a doubt that truth is exactly the concept that John is pointing us to in the first chapter of his gospel right here. You and I live and breathe and move and express ourselves as independent beings. We have abilities and perspectives and identities unique to ourselves. No one has ever walked this earth who is exactly quite like you or any one of us. But there is one thing that every one of the billions of humans who have walked this earth over time have completely in common. The God who wrapped himself in flesh to save us and give us eternal life with him is our life. Many of our human brothers and sisters don't know this, don't trust this, don't believe this, don't confess this or live this as this truth means anything to them. But that doesn't make it not true. There is one source of all human life, our Creator God, who presents himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that source of all life, human and otherwise, tells you and me in his word right here that there is only one source of light for our lives that will give us eternal meaning and eternal life with him. It is also and only and always him. There is no need to search for anything else, especially if it leads us away from him. We have permission, we have freedom, we have encouragement from God to explore everything that exists within the context of this knowledge of him being the light, him being the center of the universe, him being the hope of our eternal future, Everything, including life itself, is from Him and remains under His control and will always be His to the end. And absolutely everything that competes with that realization and our trust in that realization, as convicted in us by the Word of God, needs to be deprioritized, needs to move to the back of our minds, the back of our lives, as we focus on and live the truth of God being the light of our lives every day. And that is why we gather to celebrate today. It's why we sing our joyful praises, confess our sins and failures, receive His precious body and blood for our forgiveness, and offer our prayers for ourselves, for each other, for the world in which we live. We know the life, and we know that this newly born in the stable of Bethlehem is the light of every human life. We join in the echoes of history as we add our voices to the believers and to the angel choirs in praise that our Savior God has come. He has come to be one of us. He has come to be one with us forever. He has come to be our life. He has come to be the light of all humanity, as He always has been and will be forever. Merry Christmas. Amen.